it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll react here with you guys for a few minutes. 215-592-9494. And then we're going to hand it back over to the Rob Thompson press conference. This is on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia live from the Tasty Cake Studios here. Hugh Douglas, there was a lot there.
Yeah, a lot of lot to digest.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed at that.
Yeah, I saw that. I was sitting here with you.
I'm writing all these things down. I mean, like, I understand he's got to spin this thing moving forward and talk about the fact that they did go out to a great baseball team. But when I hear words like difficult chore, Dodgers are great, exceptional staff, it's his job to build a team to beat the Dodgers. Like, does he not realize what the job is? The job isn't to say the Dodgers are great, we tried. His job is to build a team. Everyone knew the Dodgers were the favorites coming into the season. Everyone knew the Dodgers were the defending World Series champions. It's his job to beat the Dodgers. Like, could you imagine Howie Roseman sitting there and saying, well, man, the Chiefs are a great team. They have Patrick Mahomes. Like that doesn't resonate. It's your job to build a team to beat the Dodgers. You didn't do it.
The standard is always changing. And for you to sit there and say, well, you know, we ran up against a good team. You know, but you were the one that decided to run it back.
Yes.
You know, and the Dodgers did what they did. You know, they got healthy. Shohei Ohtani got healthy, even though he hasn't been a huge factor in this series just yet. They were making moves to make their team better, and you kind of stood pat. Now, during the regular season, paid huge benefits, dividends for you, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the postseason, and you didn't build a team that could sustain. That's the bottom line, Joe. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about how everyone else is good. I'm tired of hearing about how we lost to a great team. Like, it's enough. Like, we all know this, Dave. You're not telling us anything we don't know. The Dodgers have a lot of good players. Their pitching was really good. Wonderful. We knew that before this whole thing started. Again, he's paid handsomely to build a championship team. He is here to do that. John Middleton doesn't pay him to build a good baseball team. He could pay a lot of people less money, I'm sure, than Dave Dombrowski makes to build a great baseball team. He is given a $300 million payroll, and the team he built is not good enough to win a championship. Like, I know his job is to be even-keeled and calm and think clearly. That's what a general manager does. That's why I'm not one, and I'm here behind a microphone. But it's also his job to build a championship team, and he's not done that. He's not done that. And to sit there and tell me how great the Dodgers are, I don't need that for 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot. Again,
that's a lot.
And also, he's been around a long time, and he has a rich history leading baseball teams. But when I hear he gave an answer that was just flat out lies, or he was mistaken, or he made a mistake. He was asked about teams keeping I think John Clark asked the question, keeping a team together that hasn't won, how do you know they're going to go win? And he referenced the Atlanta Braves from the 90s, who won one championship. And he's like, well, it took them some time to get through. Actually, Dave, you're just misrepresenting what happened. They went to the World Series in 91. They went back in 92. They lost to the Phillies in 93. There was a strike in 94, and they won it in 95. They went to three World Series and won one in their last time. You've been to one, and you've gone backwards since then. They went World Series appearance, lost in the LCS, strike season, and then won the next year. That's not this Phillies group. They lost the first round 2 years in a row. Like, what is he talking about? Like, if you're going to sell me on something, you can't do that. You can't tell me, though, this is when the 90 Braves did this. Well, they didn't. Also, Chipper Jones was 23. Andrew Jones was 21. And all their pitchers were in their 20s. They were ascending, leading to a championship. This thing is descending in terms of some of your older players, like Bryce Harper, who he was real about, did not have an elite season. The other thing that is worth noting, Hugh, obviously, Topper's back. And he did say Topper could get an extension where they patch another year in his contract this offseason. So that we know. They're bringing all the coaches back. But
they're adding some coaches.
They are. They're adding a field coordinator. That caught your attention.
Yeah. And then who did he throw under the bus when he said, no, we did?
Oh, Strom. He cooked Matt Strom.
He totally cooked Matt Strom. That was my favorite. That was actually,
I don't
like
know
that.
What he's talking about, but we did it.
We did it. He didn't participate.
He wasn't there.
That was pretty wild stuff.
Wait a minute. But my question is this.
Yeah.
when the team was doing it.
What's Matt doing?
Yeah.
Tweeting.
Collecting baseball cards.
Yeah, tweeting and collecting baseball cards. Matt's great at that, yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know what Matt Strom was doing. But he definitely
was. He wasn't watching that. That's right. That's crazy.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was interesting is he said they are going to add a bench coach, one preferably with major league managing experience. That makes me think that that guy, if things don't go right next year, they have a built-in, hey, Topper's fired, here's our next manager.
Like, I mean, that's what it feels like.
And that actually makes sense.
Somebody that has boots on the ground.
Yep.
That's going to have intimate knowledge of the squad. And if something like that happens, he can just take over.
Yes.
That has to be a tough one, though. When that guy comes in the office and you have to shake his hand and be like, hey
you're here
I'm here to help you.
In case screw up.
No, because the reality is, hey, I'm here to help you. But basically, you know what it is.
Yeah, no question. All right, a couple other things. Rob Thompson's press conference coming up. Then we'll react to all of it together. 215-592-9494. Cassianos is out of here. When that question came in about Nick and his future, we'll see with the Cassianos answer. That one was pretty telling. And the last thing that caught my attention and drove me crazy is when he's asked about the team, and he said he gets texts from his friends in baseball about how good they are. I don't give a crap about the text messages that Dave Dombrowski is getting from his friends.
I'm proud of you.
Well, my friends tell me it's a great baseball team. Well, all of us see you go out in four games in the first round of the playoffs. I'm glad you're getting nice messages from your friends in baseball.
You got a good squad, man. You just ran up against a good team.
What are you going to do? Dodgers are great. I mean,
I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect to hear that.
He also credited. All right, let's hear from Top right into break.
That's all right. All right. With that out of the way, we can start.
And go in the back with Matt.
Your one coaching change, what do you hope to accomplish with this by moving Kalichuk into a different role? What's that role? What do you want in a bench coach?
Yeah, essentially, Mike's going to be doing exactly what he was doing last year. All the organization, spring training on a daily basis during the season, get all the information, run our advanced meetings. What we're really doing is adding a guy that another set of eyes, maybe new perspective, different perspective on our club, new ideas. But I'm still going to be utilizing everyone on that bench, including Mike, for information during the game. So I just think it adds hopefully an experienced guy that gives just a different perspective and makes us a little bit better.
Okay, Marcus, back left.
A couple things. Whose idea was it? Was it your idea? Was it Dave's idea? Was it more organizational?
It was Dave's idea, but I thought it was a good idea, something to talk about, and we talked it out and figured this is probably going to make us a little bit better, hopefully.
How would you describe your relationship now with Nick Castellanos now that the season is over? Was there an exit interview? Obviously, you're not going to give us particulars, but
yeah.
How would you say that relationship is right now?
My perspective, it's good. I mean, I never hold any grudges, or if I have a problem with a player or another coach, it doesn't linger. I'm always a guy that's going to turn the page on that type of thing.
Okay, let's go to Jimmy, back left.
Rob, how involved will you be in identifying the next bench coach in the hiring?
Oh, very involved. Yeah.
Hiring process. Is it important you have a chemistry there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Not only myself, but with the rest of the staff. The staff is so good. We're just trying to add one more guy to make it even a little bit better.
Like that. The addition of this bench coach was necessitated by some of the things that shook out in the postseason, or did this come up beforehand?
Actually, we talked about it last year during the offseason a little bit. Dave just shot the idea at me, and I was like, yeah, it's not a bad idea. So then it's just kind of, I don't think it had anything to do with this postseason.
Okay, let's go to Bob on the right.
Rob, when you look at this lineup in particular, and it's going to change for next year, but overall, if you could look at it and say, I could really use this in the lineup, is there a this that you would want?
Well, it's, you know, our lineup's pretty deep. We're awfully left-handed, I can say that. So where that comes from, right-handed bat, where that comes from, I don't know. Is it out there? I don't know. But we're awfully left-handed. This year, anyway.
Oh, let's go to Devin in the front here.
Hi, Rob. With a fan base that's understandably, you know, frustrated with the team coming up short several postseasons in a row, what would you say to reinstill confidence in them, in you as a manager of this team moving forward and in the team moving forward?
Well, we're a pretty good team. I mean, we won 96 games this year, fought the Dodgers tooth and nail. That series could have gone either way. I've been in the major leagues 22 years, and I've been fortunate enough to have really good players, be around really good players, and been in the postseason 14 of those 22 years. Have won it once and been to the World Series and lost the other time. It is difficult to grind through all these series. It really is. And you know, you look back at 22, we got hot at the right time. We caught a bunch of breaks during that postseason run, and that's what you got to do. And in this series, I did not particularly think we played poorly. I thought we played well. We played well on defense. We faced a really good pitching staff, but I loved our at-bats. Let me put it another way. I liked our at-bats a lot better this postseason than I did last postseason, and arguably against better pitching. Not that the Mets pitching wasn't very good. So I'm bullish on this team. I really am. Partly because we have a great front office, great owner. We're going to go out and try to make this team better. But the core people that we have here are outstanding. We have an outstanding staff. We have an outstanding training staff. So I'm very bullish on this organization.
Lachlan on the left.
Hi, Rob. I don't know how much you've talked to Kirkering up since the end of the season, but what's your sense on where his headspace is, and what's your confidence he'll be able to overcome how it ended?
Yeah, I talked to him twice. As soon as we got landed, we got back in the clubhouse. I talked to him for a short period, and then the following day he came in to pack up, and I talked to him again. And I think he's I think he's in the right mindset right now. You know, and I just reiterated that, you know, that happens to be the last play of the last game, and we're out. So it's magnified. But there's so many things that happened prior to that. You know, a bloop hit here, a great play they make on a bunt. All these different things, decisions that I make that didn't work out. All these other things are part of us losing. So it's everything's focused on him right now. He's going to have a long career, successful career. You just can't dwell on that, and people forget, and he needs to forget too.
Okay. Scott Lauber, or is Todd has?
Does your bench coach? Do you want him to be an ex-manager?
Possibly, yeah.
That experience. Last year at this time, we were talking about Taiwan, and you were talking about how you think he could get his velo back, and this and that. Is there any plan like that for Nola to get him? Maybe coming out of the chute, throwing harder, and not to kind of avoid the struggles that he's had.
I don't know that answer, but I would think that he's going to work very hard because he always does, and I would think that he's going to try to make some adjustments to make sure that the velo's in a better spot during the season. But some guys, they build velocity as the season goes on. That's just who they are, and he's one of those guys. So I'm sure he's going to work at it and try to come in, but I don't think he's going to be 95, 96 to start the season. That's just probably not who he is. Yeah.
And then one more. You talked about being left-handed heavy. Bader had a really nice year, but if you look at his career, he's been kind of a below-average offensive performer. So what makes you a believer, if you guys decide you want to bring him back, what makes you a believer that that is who he is and not maybe what he has been in the past?
Well, I think he's made some adjustments prior to this year, and that's what gave him a little bit better offensive year. So I'm just banking on the fact that he continues to either maintain or even get better, because that's what he did this year. His numbers were really good, and he was actually better against right-hand pitching than he was against left-hand pitching. So, you know, I think he's a guy that's going to work at it, and he's going to just keep getting better.
Scott?
Bryce had the kind of year that I think a lot of people would take, but it was below his standard. What do you make of his season, and just kind of like where do you feel he is going forward?
I think he's highly motivated to have the best season of his career next year. That's what the plan's going to be for him. Played in, 132 games and hit 27 home runs. It's pretty good. You know, you add on another 30 games or 25 games, whatever it is. The numbers look pretty good. But, yeah, I mean, it was down a little bit, but still over an 840 OPS, something like that. That's pretty good.
When you say highly motivated, I mean, do you get a sense that it's any different than any other, you know, year going in, just kind of how it, your conversations with him before he left or, you know, before it all?
Well, I think, and he hasn't told me this, but that type of person, and I've seen it before where they've had bad years, they go like gangbusters during the off season to get better because they want to get back to where they normally are at. And I think that's just Harp's mindset. I think that's what he's going to do.
Okay, Charlotte on the left.
Do you plan to make any changes to how you'll manage the club next year?
To how I'll manage the club?
Approaching managing.
I don't think so. I mean, you learn different things every day and you apply it, but I am who I am.
And I know retirement has been on your mind in the past. David mentioned maybe working on an extension this winter. Is that something you'd be interested in, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to manage. You know, you got to have somebody that wants you first. But I've said it many times, the last 4 years have been the most fun of my career. And it has to do with the people in the organization, the players, staff, front office, the fan base. How I'm treated by you guys. I mean, I feel like I'm treated very fairly. And as long as I'm happy and my family's happy, I'm having fun and they want me, I'll manage. But when I'm not having fun, they don't want me, I feel like I'm getting in the way, then it's time to go home.
Okay, Marcus in the back.
A couple of guys whose their futures aren't certain here. JT, how much intangible value does he have that we don't see that makes him increases his value beyond, you know, whatever his OPS is and you know, managing the staff preparation, things like that? You seem to be a big fan of his. Why?
And I can't put a dollar sign on it. It's just hard to do it. But this guy is, and I've had a lot of great catchers. I've been around Posada, Pudge Rodriguez for a short period of time. It goes on and on and on. This guy, to me, is the most prepared guy I've ever been around as a catcher. He will spend hours watching video, making up his own game plan, and then matching it up with Caleb and talking with the pitchers. And he's got a great feel for in-game adjustments. When to go to the mound, when to change the pitch, when to change location. I can't put a number on it, but it's significant. I mean, he's just that good.
And you've probably been, through his ups and downs, Jose Alvarado's greatest advocate. How much will you advocate for the team to pick up his option, or has his value in your eyes, I don't know, diminished, lessened? Where do you stand on him right now, considering what he went through this season and how he performed?
Tough year. Really was for him in a lot of different ways. But I think making sure that he's healthy going into the off season kind of eased his mind, eased my mind. I'm bullish on the club. I'm really bullish on Alvarado too, and I love him. I love his energy. I love his stuff. I think he's wherever he's at, he's going to have a really good year next year.
Matt, back left.
Dave sat up there and mentioned several prospects that he views as potential contributors for 2026. do you believe the club would benefit from an infusion of some younger players into the mix?
I love young players because they always bring energy, you know. But they got to perform too, you know. So, but I do. Those guys were talking about Painter. I think he's going to be better second year out after the Tommy John. The command's going to get better. The quality of stuff's going to get a little bit better. He's going to be fine. Crawford looks like he's, you know, not much more you can do in the minor leagues for him. And I know there's a lot of talk about Aiden Miller. He's come very quickly. So it'll be very interesting next spring training because those guys, they're on the doorstep and a couple of them are ready to go. So we'll see. But I love having young players around because I think it boosts the energy of the team, the experienced guys, the fan base. The fan base loves watching young kids have success. So, I'm looking forward to spring training to see how these guys do.
Okay, go to Ty back right.
Rob, I guess there's been a lot of talk about running it back versus making changes. If this club does look pretty similar again next year, how confident would you be that you guys can get over the hump? And then I guess how much do you value the continuity versus the risk of just doing kind of the same thing that hasn't led to a championship?
Well, I think every team changes a little bit over the course, you know, from year to year. So that there's always change in there. But I'm really comfortable with this core group. They work extremely hard. They're always prepared. So we will have changes to try to get better on the edges. But, if we ran back the biggest part of our core group, I'm extremely confident in that.
Howard in the middle.
Hey, Rob. A couple things. One, just in terms of Bryson Stott, you know, somebody who looked like he was on the cusp of hitting lefties about as well as he was hitting righties. Last couple of years, it hasn't gone that way. I know when we talked about it a year ago, a lot of it was injury-based. It seems like it was a healthier year for him.
Yep.
Wondering kind of where you see him relative to being an everyday player with obviously the caveat, Sosa had a great year for you, hitting some lefties playing second.
Yeah, I've said this before. I view Stott as an everyday player. But Sosa's numbers are so good against left-handed pitching that you got to fit him someplace. And whether it's at third base when Bohm was hurt or mixing in for Stott against a lefty. So I view Stott as an everyday hitter. I think if he played every single day against left-handed pitching, he'd get better. He'd put up pretty good numbers. And I think the change that they made, I can't give it, let's say middle of July, with his hands. From that point on, he really had quality at-bats, and those are the type of at-bats that I saw way back in, you know, 22 and in the fall league in 21, and hopefully he carries that over. But I think that change he made was significant, and he got much better after that.
And just in terms of Kirkering, you know, it's obviously you talked about the need to forget. Dave talked about the support he's getting throughout the organization. There's no real pattern, right, to be able to say, here's how you help a guy forget. But what is your approach as you do that, not only heading into this offseason, but coming into next spring, summer? You know, are you looking at an appearance differently? Are you concerned about fan reaction differently? Just, you know, how do you approach that?
I mean, I'm not expecting anything really, but I mean, if I see it, then you have to approach it, then you have to talk about it. But that play, if he has the same play next year, he'll make the right decision. And we can't come up with a drill to simulate that exact situation. Because I can't put 55,000 people in the stands yelling and screaming, and it's bottom of the ninth or 10th or 11th inning, whatever it was. I can't simulate that. So, it's just talking through it if there's a problem. But I don't expect there to be a problem.
Tim, right in the front.
Rob, given how close you guys have gotten the last few years without getting over the hump, when things ended in L.A., was there any part of you that wondered, A, whether you would ask to be asked to come back, and even whether you would want to come back?
No, because at the end of that game, I was more focused on the people that were in the clubhouse that were heartbroken. And I've never really worried about my job, and maybe that's why I've always had a job. I don't know, but I just feel like if you do your job on a daily basis and you don't think about yesterday, think about today, what you need to do right now, then you can sleep at night and, you know, not worry about it, because I never have.
Okay. Dave, you're in front.
So, during the season, you brought up multiple times how, I'm paraphrasing, that this club realizes they have to get the job done. Right? And then in this press conference, you reiterated how much fun you've had doing this and how meaningful this job is to you. Factoring all those in, as well as the randomness of the playoffs and how difficult it is to win, how much has every postseason game since game two of the 23 LCS and this tough stretch you guys have had, how much has that bugged you, gnawed at you, and motivate you to get the job done next season?
Every time we get knocked out, and that's the 13 out of 14 times I've been in the playoffs, it hurts. I mean, to the core. And I don't think you ever forget. I don't. I mean, I'll wear this until the first day of spring training. I'll never forget. But at first day of spring training, I got to turn the page and I got to go. I'm telling you, it really hurts.
Okay, Colin on the left.
You'd said going into the season that you hope for Alec Boehm to handle the highs and the lows well. What did you see in how he met that goal?
I thought he was much better over the course of the year. Much more mature, handled the downs a lot better, he was more on an even keel over the course of the year. Now everybody blows up at some point because they get frustrated, and it's a tough sport, and there's a lot of failure here. But I thought he was much, much better.
Okay, we have now Martin, right in the middle.
Hi, Rob. You mentioned, if I could follow up on Bryce Harper, you know, you'd mentioned that he's going to be highly motivated to come back strong next year and everything. And I just want to ask, like, how important, whether or not you guys have changes or not in the lineup with, you know, guys like Schwarber and JT, who may or may not be back, what do you need to see from Bryce as far as going forward that maybe you didn't see as much this season?
What I like to see is him just be himself, try not to do too much, and really focus on hitting the ball the other way. Because when he does that, when he stays on the ball, he is such a great hitter. But I think he gets into the mindset that he just tries to do a little bit too much because he knows that he's Bryce Harper, and you know, then he starts getting off the ball and things like that. So I just want him to be himself. That's all.
Okay, Anthony, that mic.
Hey, Rob, earlier when you were talking about the Kirkering play, you said that there was a dozen other things that happened before it, right? And you even said that there were a couple of decisions that you made that, you know, didn't work out. With hindsight being 20/20, is there anything that you would have done differently in the four games?
Well, not necessarily in the four games. But what I would have done differently is checked a few more boxes going into the playoffs. As far as, like, David Robertson having an up-down. He hadn't had one. Bringing Strom in the middle of an inning. We didn't check that box. Tried to. Would have made a difference? I don't know. But I know that if we checked that box, I could sleep a little bit better.
Todd on the left.
Rob, what did you make of Strom's comments after game four that he wished that as a veteran he would have advocated for more PFPs, and it's tough to ask somebody to make a play when it's not practiced?
Well, we did do PFP during the break prior to the series, and it was a long PFP. But again, me or nobody else can simulate that situation. Bobble, bases loaded, 55,000 people, tie game, extra innings. We could hit them that ball 1,000 times and make the play, but I can't simulate all the other things. So, you know, you just keep working on it and try to get better, but we did do PFP.
All right, there it is. Rob Thompson press conference today, followed by Dave DeBrusque. We had a lot of react to here. 215-592-9494. Let's react to everything we heard from both Dombrowski, who I'm still annoyed at for that nonsense 40 minutes ago, and of course, Rob Thompson there talking about the postseason, his future, and everything in between. We'll react to it all next. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on the Phillies' end-of-season press conference. Are you happy with what you heard? I'm not, especially from Dombrowski. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Check the game film. A third of your life is spent in the bed. And if your mattress isn't elite, you're losing the time of possession battle. Get it right, folks, at the Mattress Warehouse. Right now, you can save up to 60% store-wide and get your choice of free box spring or a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. Want to upgrade your sleep without blowing the cap? Mattress Warehouse is clearing out the floor. And these deals are designed to save you some serious cash. Hit the floor model clearance sale and save big while supplies last. And for a limited time, score up to $600 off premium Stearns & Foster and Sealy Posturepedic Elite mattresses, plus people, an extra $200 off adjustable bases. But you got to act fast. This deal ends October 21st. Plus, don't sleep on the 0% interest financing, plus Mattress Firm's warehouse, Mattress Warehouse signature one-year lowest price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Do what I did and upgrade with total confidence at the Mattress Warehouse. Mattress Warehouse. Wait a minute. And find your store. Find a store nearest you at themattresswarehouse.com. That's themattresswarehouse.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, we haven't been able to take calls for a while, obviously, as everyone has been listening to Dombrowski and Topper. Look, Topper, I'm not furious at him for anything he said. He just, you know, he's a manager, end of season stuff, talking about players, talking about the operation. He did talk about one thing that caught me from Topper was him saying he wishes he had done some things in the regular season so he could sleep better in the postseason. They had never asked David Robertson to come, you know, in a game, sit down, come back in the game, which is what he did in game one. But overall, it's Dombrowski that annoyed me today. I mean, that was that just
ran into a bus all day.
Yeah.
Joe.
Okay.
Day,
whose
Joe?
Job is it to build a team to beat the Dodgers? Is it his job?
I'm just telling you. Okay. He just told you what what it was.
No, that's fine. I'm just again. He's basically saying, I didn't do my job good enough. I'm sorry. They're really good. We know they're good already. Let's go to the phone lines. Your chance to react to what we just heard there. Ron in Monco is up. Hey, Ron.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, you know, Dombrowski, he's gone from being a terrible used car salesman to blatantly lying to our faces. And the worst part of this is that the owner is buying this. And this is where the problem begins and ends. And it's been this way since this guy got voted in. You saw it with his first moves to bring total losers in here from Baltimore for 5 years after the Ruben Amaro and the other president what's his name? The guy that passed away.
Buck.
Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. And, I mean, these guys are just repeating history. And it's worse. And the thing of it is the contracts, the four contracts that we're stuck with right now, we keep talking about these other guys that we're going to trade, and that's well and good. But do you guys remember the big unit the last 3 to 4 years of watching him play? I mean, you got two pitchers right now. I mean, Aaron Nola's done. He's cooked. And you got 6 more years. And we don't know what Wheels is going to do. Wheels is going to give you everything he's got.
Yeah.
Now, God willing, you know, that's all if his body can hold up. You know, but I'm telling you, you're watching the downside. on Harper.
Well, that's what frustrated me. David Montgomery is who you were talking about. Montgomery. Yeah, yeah. No, I know you meant.
But Ron, what's
frustrating about it is they're acting as if they're a young team on the rise, right? And they're taking baby steps and they're going to get there. This is an older team,
It's the oldest team in baseball.
I know, so. and to say, well, we had good at bats. It was better than last year. They're not. They think they're ascending, and they don't realize their age here. They're delusional.
No, he's lying to you. He's not delusional. He's trying to keep Joe. Here's the bottom line. He's trying to keep asses in the seats. That's what he's trying to do. He's not. Look at the bad contracts that Dombrowski brought on to this team that are worthless. Okay, and then before that, we got now. I mean. Look, they're not going to abandon this because they're going to suck this thing till it's dry, okay? And then we're going to see the absolute demise of the franchise. And the best thing that could happen to this franchise is if my Phillies were sold off to somebody like the guy from Boston and the guy from New York. These get some real baseball people in here. Because we don't have that here. We have a bunch of yes men.
Well, they're either lying or they're delusional. Ron, we appreciate it. It doesn't work. Like, you can't go up there every year and say the other team's good too. Then what is the point of this? If the whole thing is, well, the best team's going to win, then should we not show up next year? Like, why do I? If you're telling me the Dodgers are great, are the Dodgers going to be less great next year? Are the Dodgers going to have less great players next year? No, they're going to run back an all-time kind of team. So the objective is to go beat them, or then why don't you just quit? Like that it sounded to me, it was such, what are we going to do? Shrug your shoulders, the Dodgers are great. You see that pitch? You see Blake Snell? Correct me if I'm wrong. Was Blake Snell not a free agent into March 2 years ago? You know who could have signed him? Dave Dombrowski. He didn't even get that much money. This is his first year on the team? This is his first year on the team. He was a free agent. He was right there to be had for anyone in baseball. Anybody could have had Blake Snell. Blake Snell didn't get $300 million. There was a lot of questions about Blake Snell. Could he go 6, 7, 8 innings in a game? Was he a two-time through-the-order pitcher? I just saw him go 8 innings in game 1 of the NLCS. I saw him mow down the Phillies. Like, to compliment Blake Snell after the Phillies gave $70 million to Taijuan Walker. Like, just think about the gap in money Blake Snell got from the Dodgers to Taijuan Walker here. Who decided to give out this money? The GM. Sean is in Newark. What's up, Sean?
Yeah, that was his first year, by the way.
How you doing? I'm in 100% agreement with you, Joe. As far as the manager, the only comment that I needed to hear out of him, I wanted him fired, and then they asked him specifically, I think Devin asked him, did he learn anything and would he change anything? And he basically said, no, I am what I am, and yep. I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, I am what I am. I am what I am. That's what we're going to play next year, Sean. That's going to come back.
And as far as the GM, and the GM said, well, the reason we lost is we ran into great pitching and we didn't score runs, but that leaves out the fact that our pitching was better and we scored more runs than them. So I don't understand that either, that when we lost 75% of the time, you know. So here's why we lost, and I have the analytics in front of me. We lost because the only thing we do good is our starting pitching, and every time he took the starting pitching out, the game immediately went right down the toilet. The logic for taking the starting pitching out is modern kids and people like Kyle think that you have to do that because the second and third time through the lineup, the pitcher's going to fall apart. I have the analytics in front of me. That is true.
I don't know.
That's
not what I said.
That you wouldn't even put my call through last week, Kyle, for that reason.
Damn,
remember?
Kyle, that's not
true.
He has an axe to grind.
I do have the numbers. First off, you're right. That normally the percentage is a 7% drop. Usually the opponent's batting average drops, it increases 7 points, and then a 9 the second, third time through, and then like 11 the fourth time through. So there is like a roughly a 7% drop or increase that the batter's more likely to get a hit. The problem is when you're an elite pitcher like Zach Wheeler, even if you drop 10 to 15%, you're still better than the guys replacing you. And I have the numbers in front of me. Here's everybody's numbers on the team that was in the playoffs. Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez and Jesus Luzardo actually for the entire season defied the major league
norm. They got better the third time through.
And Christopher Sanchez, he got better the second and third. He went from 255 down to 247 down to 242. So hitters got worse every time they saw Chris. So that shows he shouldn't have took Christopher out of either one of those games, and we would have won both of those, I think, if he left
you
him
know
in.
What it is, hey. Sean? And Sean, listen, man, we appreciate it. I wanted to hear more. We got to hit some things. I do think there's a disconnect. Dombrowski thinks starting pitching and a closer is all you need. The middle relief continues to kill the Phillies. The manager manages it one way. It doesn't work in the postseason. There's a lot of issues here. Why can't I just hear them come out today and say, we got to be better? Our whole goal is to win the World Series. We didn't do it. Did he say that once?
I didn't hear that.
He didn't say it one time. Again, would Howie Roseman ever get to the podium after a playoff loss and say, man, that Patrick Mahomes is good. Baker Mayfield and Todd Bowles are good. Did he do that 2 years ago? Or did he sat there and said, this is a failure, and I'm going to work my ass off to try to get to a Super Bowl? Nah, Blake Snell's good. What are you going to do? Sorry, guys. Dodgers are – have you seen that team? Dodgers are really good.
Some good points.
Yeah, they were annoying. That's what they were.
They're just more palatable coming from me than him.
Yes, because I can yell back at you.
I mean, because we're normally when we're having these conversations, we're sitting at a bar with a couple of beverages.
Yeah, and I want the general manager to think about, I mean, he's the one where the solutions are in his hands.
Yes.
Right? I'm just reacting to what I see. He needs to be the one that says, this is how we're going to get better.
Yes. 215-592-9494. We'll continue to react to you. Everything Dombrowski said, Topper, I am annoyed today. I just need someone down there to show me they care about winning the World Series, not, hey, we tried our best. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
By now, you heard me talk about my new tailgate drink, the Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry. It's the real deal, folks. It's bold, vibrant blackberry softened with a creamy vanilla, toasted oak, and just a hint of honey. It would be my touchdown tailgate drink, and it'll be yours at the touchdown tailgate. Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry. Head over to your local fine wine and good spirit stores and grab yourself a couple bottles. Jack Daniel's Blackberry, to make your own Jack Daniel's Blackberry Lemonade. And remember, tailgate responsibly.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zilla, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we react to the Phillies press conferences today, Dave Dombrowski with a lot of lies and nonsense for about 45 minutes. And then Rob Thompson trying to clean up the mess afterwards. Hugh, what did you make of the reality he threw on the Bryce Harper year? I mean, I thought that was the only true thing Dave Dombrowski said in 45 minutes of talking is, yeah, he wasn't an elite. He didn't have an elite year. Let's see if he could be elite again.
I kind of said that.
Oh, so it's I told you so, Doug.
No, I'm just saying. I kind of said that.
Well, I agree with you on that.
No,
I
mean, you did. Yeah, but, no, you know, the people who got pushed back.
He did not have an elite season. No,
and he needs to be better. I mean, because, you know, you're talking about Father Time is undefeated. And the older you get, the harder it is to do certain things that you used to do when you were younger. And the reality is that the window is closing for this team.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about all the guys on this team, everybody's on here a little bit older. You talk about JT Realmuto. He's a lot older. He's coming off the knee injury last year, and he had a pretty decent season. But the bottom line is this. You're not going to be able to do it for that much longer. And you have to try to take full advantage of the situation that you're in. And it just feels like, as much as Dave talked about this team, you know, running into a buzzsaw and it not working out the way that you wanted it to work out, it just feels like it's about to get worse, because that's what history has shown you. Now, I wasn't here for the first World Series run when Topper took over.
Mm-hmm.
But I was here after that. And the last three seasons, you've gotten progressively worse. Now, you put up a hell of a fight against a hell of a good team. But the bottom line is the result was the same.
Yep.
The result was the same. The bats went cold. Your key bats, your primary players, the usual suspects, were just that. They were the usual suspects. They didn't get the job done.
Yeah, and they have to, and you're right about that, and they have to realize, like, memories and excitement are about the postseason, right? Like, no one is talking about, oh, the regular season games they won in April and May and June the last few years. They've won two total playoff games in the last 2 years. I mean, just think about that. Like, they've won two playoff games in 2 years, one against the Mets, one against the Dodgers. Like, that's where memories are made. That's where excitement is really generated.
And let's be honest. That's all anybody really remembers.
Yeah.
That's all anybody really remembers. Because when we talk about the Eagles, like, we're eerily similar to some of the things that were going on last year. But you know what happened last year?
They won it.
Won the Super Bowl. So nobody talks about it. You know, that's why, you know, it's one of those things where nobody cares about the labor pains, Joe. I just want to show you the baby. Show me the baby. And the last three seasons, you haven't shown us the baby.
No, they have not. It really was. The other thing, one more thing. I'm looking at all my notes from during the Dombrowski press conference. You and I looked at each other during this. We're like, what? When he compared, because I think it was a question about age and how they're a little older. And mm-hmm. he compared them to the Golden State Warriors, which a couple yeah. things here. Okay, first of all, that team, you got to give the benefit of the doubt that they'll still hang around because they were champions, right? They were a dynasty. Now they're older, obviously, with Steph and Draymond Green. But he also, I believe he said that
were projected like they're contending.
And I looked at the odds as soon as he said that. They have the 12th best odds to win the title. They have the same odds as the Atlanta Hawks. Dave, what year are you in?
Yeah.
Are you in a time warp?
And the average age is like 36. When I looked at the projected lineup for the Hawks, the Golden State Warriors, yeah. They had Buddy Hield in the lineup. They got Al Horford projected and Buddy Hield.
Yeah, that didn't make me feel any better. Well, you know, the Warriors are old. Well, first of all, they were a dynasty.
Steph's 37. Draymond was 36. I think Al Horford was 39. That might be a little lofty, but it was like the average age. It was like 36. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, that didn't make me feel any better. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Trust up next on WIP. Hey, Trust.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey, Trust. What's up?
Listen, I called Hugh back in July, and I told him that the bats would go cold and the bullpen would come up short. And it's been the same thing for the past 3 years, and nothing's changed. So what's the common denominator in the last couple of years in 23, 24, and 25?
Well, you got the same three stars atop the lineup, and you have the same manager, all the same.
So something has to change. So now that we stuck with the manager, so we can't get rid of Harper. You're not getting rid of Turner. So do you get rid of Schwarber? Because honestly, I would like let Schwarber go if, and I know this is a big if I could get Alonzo and Kyle Tucker. But then the problem comes up. What do you do with Realmuto and Ranger?
Yeah, it's a puzzle here. I mean, trust. I want Schwarber back, but if you told me I could get both Alonzo and Tucker, yeah, I would do that. I mean, that's you got to do that.
But then we get professional hitters, and that's the thing that's missing in these lineups of the last 3 years. It's been the common denominator. And also, I'm pretty much tired of Bohm and Stott because I would love to put Miller at third, and then, you know, if you couldn't get rid of Stott and vice versa.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I'm with you, especially on Bohm. And trust, good phone call, man. I'm tired of waiting for these guys to just get better. I mean, they are what they are. You know, Kyle brought this up a couple days ago that, you know, we could talk about the top three in the order, and they were not good enough. It's also, when it's Bohm and Marsh hitting 4 and 5, that's not good enough either. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why the whole Dombrowski thing just is like, what did I just listen to? You built a team that is not good enough. That is; those are facts. Whether we could talk about maybe they were good enough or maybe they could have been good enough, they aren't. They have not won a championship, and they are not really even getting close the last couple of years.
Yeah, it looked like they're regressing a little bit.
Yeah, so when I hear, well, we played a great team, does Dave not realize the Dodgers are in the National League? Like, there is a world here where they're turning into a dynasty. I think it was, Hugh, when we had our roundtable show at Stateside, right? Mm-hmm. Jack said something to the effect of he's a little afraid the Dodgers have figured it out, right? After all the years of being in the playoffs, that maybe the Dodgers are like becoming, like they figured out October and they're about to reel off two or three World Series. That might be true.
Yeah, they're about to go yeah.
You know what? I think they're going to win back-to-back within the next 2 weeks.
Back-to-back.
It's not easy, right?
It ain't easy to go back-to-back.
So what are we just going to just shrug our shoulders and say, oh, what are we going to do? We were good, but we went up against a dynasty.
That's kind of what Kyle did yesterday. Don't
it kind of is. It's permeating. It's yeah. It's going from.
I'm not the general manager, though.
No, I know you're not.
I am reacting to what I saw in the series.
It's worse.
I'm trying
it's
to
worse
caution
when he does
people.
I'm just saying, though. I mean, you kind of conceded the fact that you was all, hey man, we lost to a better team.
I mean,
kind of sound like Dave Dombrowski.
It sounds like I spit a bunch of facts. Is what
well,
you're
it sounds
me.
Like you're Kyle Dombrowski today. I mean, that's
look,
Kyle Dombrowski.
Both big time baseball guys. Dave Dombrowski's a Hall of Fame general manager.
Yeah.
So sounds to me like I just made really good points.
You made a Hall of Fame take adjuster or take analysis person?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's all we'll get there. Hall of Fame spin doctor is what I heard. I heard spin doctor nonsense for an hour today. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop over aboard. We got a lot to do in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here. Your reaction to everything you heard today at the end of the season, the Philly season press conference. And before the end of our show, we can't ignore it because it was like, wow, that was strong. Yesterday, Brian Baldinger, what he had to say about Jalen Carter's season as we look forward to the Eagles and Vikings on Sunday. We'll hit you with that. Your phone calls in the Phils as well. 215-592-9494. Do you expect meaningful changes and your reaction to Dombrowski? I am so annoyed after listening to that today. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.